on the internet. It is approximately 9:30 in the morning on August 11th, 2009, here in room 413 of the State Capitol Building in Pierre. We have numerous people on the line that we will check first. First of all, Susan Stewart with Mid-American.
I'm here.
Thank you. Tammy Eberle.
I'm here.
Ron Spanger, Flingler.
Here, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Jim Kramer. Jim, are you there? No. David Ziegler. George Thompson.
Good morning, Mr. Commissioner.
Good morning. Dean Martinow. Okay. Ryan Taylor.
Meredith Moore, present for Ryan Taylor, Mr. Commissioner.
Thank you, Meredith. Kari Flanagan. Denny Law. Gwen Davis. Kathy Ford.
I'm here, sir.
Hey, there we go. Steve Otto.
Present, sir.
Thank you. Tal Wazorek.
I'm here, Commissioner.
All right. Mary Sisick.
I'm here.
And Laura Julius and Jim Adkins.
Right here.
All right. Great. Thank you. Some other people may be joining us. Is there anybody on the line that I did not call your name? All right. First on the agenda is, first of all, I'd like to note that there is an addendum. There are two electric dockets and one pipeline safety docket. It'd be my intention to take the electric dockets during the normal agenda. We will just switch back and forth during electric, and then the pipeline safety, we'll take that right after our hydrocarbon pipeline. What that should do is finish up everything except for ETC filings. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, that's the way we'll proceed. First on the agenda is administration. Approval of the minutes of the commission meeting held on May 19th, 2009. The minutes have been circulated. Are there any comments on the minutes? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve?
I move for approval. Is Commissioner Dusty Johnson?
Oh, I'm sorry. I should say who's here. My name is Steve Colbeck, and I'm joined by Commissioner Dusty Johnson and Commissioner Gary Hansen.
Good morning.
I think that's all three of us. All right, we'll go back to the approval of the minutes.
Move for approval.
All right, we have a motion. No second is needed. All those in favor, say aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Johnson.
Aye.
And Commissioner Kovac votes aye also. Now we're rolling. Okay. Consumer reports. Deb Gregg is at the Swimpire Fair, so I believe Kara Simler will be giving those today.
Thank you, Commissioner. The Commission received a total of 59 contacts since the last report was prepared for the July 29, 2009 Commission meeting. 12 of the contacts involved telecommunication services, 10 involved electrical services, 8 natural gas services, 5 cell phone services, 15 contacts were related to the Do Not Call registry, 1 related to the Keystone pipeline, 1 involved wind energy, 7 were related to issues not regulated by the PUC. 1,545 of the 1,606 complaints received in 2009 have been resolved.
Thank you, Ms. Simler. Any comments from commissioners? Okay, moving on to electric docket. Number 1, EL07-031. In the matter of the filing by Otter Tail Power Company for approval of its tariff revisions and distributed generation interconnection manual. On July 23, 2009, Otter Tail filed a request for withdrawal of the filing. And today the question is, shall the commission grant the request to withdraw? The moving party is Otter Tail. We'll hear from them first.
Mr. Chairman, this is Ron Spangler with Otter Tail Power Company. I did speak with Mr. Dave Prozick this morning, and he was going to talk with Kara Semler about this filing. Maybe I could have Kara chime in at this point.
Yeah, this is Kara Semler. He did. This was the filing that Otter Tail made in this matter was in response to a commission request as we worked through the interconnection process. We've completed the rulemaking process, and now this is just a cleanup matter to go back and withdraw this filing, as the companies are now required to comply with the commission's rules. And I will have these same comments for the next docket as well, as two of them on the addendum.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Schimler. Commissioner, comments?
I move to grant Otter Tail's request for withdrawal.
All right. Motion's been made. Second's not required. Commissioner Hansen, how do you vote? Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
And Commissioner Kobach votes aye also. And the next docket is EL07-032, a very similar docket. On July 23rd, Northwestern filed a request to withdraw, and today is the same question. Ms. Simler, would you like to go first on this, or is there anyone from Northwestern who would like to speak?
I have the same comments. I spoke with Ms. Bonrud yesterday, and she's traveling, unable to be on the phone today, but my comments are the same, that this was okay. A compliance filing and now a cleanup matter.
Okay. And just to clarify, Ms. Simler, this is in response to our rulemaking. Now that our rules have been approved by the legislature, the rulemaking docket is done. These are just to go back and withdraw theirs, correct?
Correct.
All right. Well, motion in EL07-032 that we grant the withdrawal. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
And Commissioner Kobach votes aye also. Item number three in electricity is EL09-009, in the matter of application of Northern States Power Company doing business as Xcel for authority to increase its electric rates. On July 30th, 2009, Chesapeake Regulatory Consultants submitted a report and consulting proposals. Today shall the Commission authorize the Executive Director to hire consultants and enter into contracts with the consultants. We'll turn to staff first on this.
Yes, I can take that, Commissioner.
Sure.
Yes, this is Dave Jacobson from Commission staff. There is a proposal out on the Internet and filed in the docket regarding this rate case. And we would just ask approval to authorize the Executive Director to sign the contract.
All right. Thank you. I don't see anybody from Xcel on the line if they'd wish to comment or not.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Gerdes is right in front of me. That's right. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Dave Gerdes. I'm a lawyer from Pierre, and I represent Xcel Energy in this docket. Xcel Energy has no objection to the motion.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gerdes. I apologize.
He's wearing camel gear today.
So. Well, I snuck up on you.
Yeah, I got my head down focused, I guess. All right. Anyone else wishing to comment on this? Hearing none, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I would move to approve the contract, give the Executive Director that authority.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Johnson has a motion. We'll vote on that. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
And Commissioner Kobach votes aye also. Item number four, EL09-011, in the matter of a filing by Mid-Dakota Utilities for approval of tariff revisions. The filing is made in compliance with the Commission's order in F3365 and is in accordance with the special terms and conditions of these tariffs, which state that the rate schedules will be reviewed annually and revised when necessary. The question today is, shall the Commission approve the tariff revisions? The moving party would be MDU. Would you like to go first?
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. This is Tammy Eberly with Montana Dakota Utilities. The filing before you today is an update to our rates applicable to cogeneration and small power production facilities with a design capacity of 100 kW or less and reflects our current avoided energy and capacity costs on the system. The avoided energy costs are determined based on the company's current resources and load requirements. The decrease in the energy payments under the proposed tariff from those authorized is because the avoided energy costs based on MISO market prices has decreased since the last update. We've also updated the capacity payments applicable under the short-term and long-term purchase rates and updated our metering costs to reflect current costs of meters. We ask that you approve the rates before you today.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Aberley. Staff, Mr. Jacobson?
Thank you, Commissioner. The voided cost calculation in this packet and the other calculations, including meter costs, are consistent with what has been filed over the past many years, and we would just recommend approval of the filing.
All right, thank you. Anyone else wishing to comment on this docket?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I have just a couple of questions, so perhaps one or two for Ms. Aberley and one for staff. Do I understand correctly that there are no current customers on these programs?
Commissioner, that is correct.
Thank you. And at first, it was a little disconcerting to see the Xcel's rate was around $105, and yours is around $8, and it was a little surprising. Is yours on a monthly basis? Is that correct? The $8?
The capacity payment?
Yes, the short-term rate,
yes.
96?
Yes.
Okay, and that explains it. The this one, perhaps staff can answer. Ms. Aberley, if you wish to address it, you certainly can. The $25 capacity rate that's offered by MDU is based on a base load plant, and those are calculated about three times the capital cost of a peaker. But what is there consideration given to the fact that occasionally the base loads are natural gas plants? Is there any consideration or adjustments, you know, as opposed to a coal plant, and since there's considerable cost differences?
Commissioner, this is Tammy Eberly with Montana Dakota. I'll just address it from MDU's perspective. We base our voided costs on what our next resource is expected to be. In this case, it is a coal-fired station. So we utilized a coal-fired cost for the base load capacity cost.
All right. Thank you. That may be a better question for Xcel, since they've been converting coal plants to natural gas plants. Appreciate that. Thank you much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions?
Commissioner, I just would to follow that up. Tammy, do you perform an integrated resource plan analysis annually? Is that correct?
We utilize the integrated resource planning process on an ongoing basis. We do formally file that every 2 years.
I see. Okay. And that use of a coal plant drives with that integrated resource plan.
That is correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Jacobson. Any other questions? Hearing none, any action?
Move that the commission approve the tariff revisions.
All right. We have a motion. No second is required. We'll vote. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Johnson.
Aye.
And Commissioner Quebec votes aye also. Next is item number 5 under electric is EL09-013. In the matter of filing by Otter Tail Power Company for approval of tariff revisions. Otter Tail Power requests that the contract with Valley Queen Cheese Factory Incorporated be removed from Otter Tail Power's summary list and contracts with deviations. The question today is, shall the commission approve the tariff revisions? Otter Tail Power, would you like to go first?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. This is Ron Spangler with Otter Tail Power Company. This is probably the third round of this request for contracts with deviations related to Valley Queen Cheese. Since this customer no longer takes service under a contracted rate that deviates from our rate schedules, we're asking that the contract with Valley Queen Cheese be removed from our summary list of contracts with deviations. Now they're taking service under the large general service time of day rate, and that was effective as of July 1 of 2009. And we just respectfully request that you approve our request for this removing this contract.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Spangler. Staff, would you like to comment?
This is Tim Binder for staff. I really don't have too much more to add to that. I think this, like you said, is the third round for Valley Queen. This tariff revision, just like you said, takes them off of Valley Queen off of the tariff sheet for contracts with deviations. Staff does recommend approval of the tariff revisions.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Bender. Would Valley Queen like to comment? Anyone else? Hearing none, Commissioner, questions? Hearing none, action.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that the commission approve the revisions.
All right, thank you. Motion has been made by Commissioner Johnson. No second is needed. We'll vote. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
And Commissioner Kovach votes aye also. That brings us to item number 6 on our electric. Excuse me. In the matter of the filing by Otter Tail Power Company for approval of its updated customer rate schedule brochures. Otter Tail Power is correcting the late payment charge of the residential service, farm service, and commercial and general service rate brochures. The revisions also remove a typographical error under the fixed time of delivery section of the commercial and general service rate brochure. The question today is, shall the commission approve the updated customer rate schedule brochures? Otter Tail is the moving power, so Ms. Everly? I'm sorry, that was in Mr. Spangler.
Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, this is Ron Spangler again. I do want to first apologize for having to submit this filing. We did have a couple of errors on these brochures, and through the result of a information request by Mr. Thurber from staff, he asked a couple of questions regarding when we started distributing these brochures, which was about the week of July 6th of 2009. And then we had roughly 28 residential customers, one commercial customer that received these brochures that had the incorrect information in them. And this did not impact any billing. It was only an error that was found on the brochures themselves. And what the error is, we had a minimum of $2 under the late payment section on the front side of all three of the brochures, and that phrase needs to be removed, the minimum of $2. And then it was just moving the word primary from one box to another underneath the fixed time of delivery service. And we just would request that you approve these revisions.
All right, thank you. Staff, Mr. Thurber?
Staff just recommends approval of the updated rate schedule brochures.
Anyone else wishing to comment? If not, I have one question for you, Mr. Spangler. Was there any misdirection or confusion brought to you by the customers? You had mentioned Mr. Thurber mentioned it to you, but were there any actual customers on the street that brought this to your attention?
I'm not aware of any questions or concerns that we had received from customers regarding this information.
So it's not a epidemic out there that people are under misinformation. It's just something that you caught and you want to correct now.
That would be correct.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions? If not, action. I'll move an EO09-014 that the commission approve the updated customer rate schedule brochures. Motion's been made. No discussion. We'll vote. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
And Commissioner Kovach votes aye also. Item number 7, an EL09-015, in the matter of the application of Basin Electric Cooperative Incorporated for an energy conversion facility siting permit for the Deer Creek Station project, a combined cycle natural gas energy conversion facility and associated infrastructure. On July 28th, 09, Basin Electric Power Cooperative filed an application for an energy conversion facility permit for the Deer Creek Station, located about 12 miles northeast of Brookings, South Dakota. The project consists of 300 net megawatt combined cycle natural gas conversion facility and associated 1.25-mile water pipeline and 0.75-mile electric transmission line. Today, shall the commission assess a filing fee not to exceed $396,500 with an initial deposit of $8,000. The moving party is Basin. We'll hear from them first. Or
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. My name is Chris Miller with Basin Electric. Just a matter before you is our application and deciding the fee. Nothing more too much to add, unless there's questions.
All right. Thank you, sir. Staff, would you like to come in?
Mr. Chairman, this is Heather Forney from staff. The maximum filing fee assessment is based on statute and the projected project cost of $393 million. We're just asking for an $8,000 deposit. I spoke with a representative from Basin yesterday about how that process works and that they'll make a deposit to us, and then as costs are incurred, we'll bill them at later dates. So at this point, we're just asking for that $8,000 deposit.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else wishing to comment on this? If not, Commissioner, questions?
Mr. Chairman? Perhaps Heather can best answer this question. Generally, our fees cover our expenses on things of this nature, but this would appear that on something of this nature that it's going to cost more once you, maybe I'm mistaken, correct me if I am, but if we hold meetings outside the city of Pierre and we hire people to provide certain information, things of that nature, by statute we're limited, we're constrained to $30,000, is that correct?
In this docket, it's $396,500.
Oh, okay.
It's the next docket. That's the $30,000.
Okay. I actually read that one prior to reading this one, but the $396,000 obviously should cover this one.
I hope so. I think that we all hope so.
Well, let me ask the second question then. The question I just asked, and we'll save time on the next docket. What happens if we run into a situation where the $30,000 doesn't cover the costs?
If the $30,000 or the $396,000 don't cover the cost, then those are absorbed by the commission.
Okay. Thank you much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, just as long as we're talking about, you know, these two dockets and expenses, you know, a question for staff. I mean, Will Hydrocarbon 1 and Electric 7 be on completely different tracks, or might some public hearings address both issues? Kind of walk me through to what extent these are linked.
This is Kara Semler for staff. Speaking for Ms. Kramer, she too is at the Swim Pyre Fair today. I think it will really depend upon the issues, and I doubt staff at this point has rolled up their sleeves and really dug into those issues and has had much communication from the surrounding landowners. I think that, too, will dictate the path that these take. So I'm sure Ms. Kramer could give you an update once staff has really dug into these dockets, but at this point I think it's a bit premature for staff to make that prediction.
Sure. Okay. Thanks very much.
All right. Any other questions? I just have one, Heather. The calculations are basically set in statute. There's nothing that we can adjust, or even if we did go over, there's really nothing we could do but to take it out of our general budget. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's set by statute.
All right. Thank you. Okay. No other questions? Any action?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that the commission assess the filing fee not to exceed $396,500 and also sign an initial deposit of $8,000.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Johnson has a motion. No second. We'll vote on that. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Johnson.
Aye.
And Commissioner Kubek votes aye also. Thank you. It would be my intention to run to the addendum and finish up our two electric items right now. I realize that Basin actually has a Hydrocarbon, which would be next, but let's finish those on the addendum first. Under the addendum, item number one is EO07-028 in the matter of the filing for Mid-American Energy Company for approval of interconnection procedures. On August 5th, 2009, Mid-American filed a request for withdrawal of the filing. And the question today is, shall the commission grant the request to withdraw the filing? Mid-American is the moving party, so we'll hear from them first.
Mr. Chairman and Commissioner, this is Susan Stewart from Mid-American. This item is like the other ones you covered earlier in the agenda. We are withdrawing our generator interconnection procedures we filed a year or so ago and to be replaced with your newly adopted rules.
All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Stewart. Staff, any comments?
No, save comments as previously made.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner, questions on this one? Hearing none, we'll go to motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the commission grant the request to withdraw the filing.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Hansen has a motion. No second is required. We'll vote. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
And Commissioner Kobach votes aye also. On the addendum, item number two in electric, in the matter of a filing by Black Hills Power for approval of a tariff revisions for technical requirements for parallel operation of distribution generation facilities. On August 4th, 2009, Black Hills filed a request to withdraw the filing. So today the question is, again, shall the commission grant the request to withdraw the filing? Black Hills is the motioning party. We'll go to them first. If they have no comments, I don't think no one is on the line for them. Staff, would you like to?
It's the same sort of docket. It was the filing was made prior to the completion of the interconnection rules.
All right. Thank you. And just to remind people, we do have new interconnection rules, and these are old filings from 07 that they're just getting rid of. So any commissioner questions? If not, I'll motion on EL07-029 that we grant the request to withdraw the filing. Any discussion? If not, there's a motion. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
And Commissioner Kobach votes aye also. All right, that should complete the electric part of our agenda. Next on our agenda is hydrocarbon pipelines. And item number one under a hydrocarbon pipeline is HP09-002 in the matter of the application by Basin Electric Cooperative for an energy conversion facility siting permit for a natural gas pipeline to support the Deer Creek Station project. The proposed pipeline diameter is 10.75 inches with an operating pressure ranging between 475 and 1,435 pounds per square inch. Construction is proposed to begin in 2010 with startup in June of 2012. The question today is, shall the commission assess the filing fee not to exceed $30,000 with an initial deposit of $8,000? Basin Electric is here, and we'll go to them first.
Thank you again, Chairman and Commissioners. Nothing more to add. Just take your consideration for our request.
All right. These are set by statute, so I think Basin Electric is here for comments if we need them. Staff, Heather, Ms. Forney.
This is Heather Forney for staff again. My comments would be very similar to those that I made in the previous Basin docket. We're asking for a filing fee assessment not to exceed $30,000 with an initial deposit of $8,000.
All right, thank you. And this is also set in statute. I know that the first one was an electric docket. This is a hydrocarbon, but they're both set in statute, correct?
That's correct.
All right. Any other questions for staff or Basin Electric? Hearing none, any action?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that the commission assess a filing fee not to exceed $30,000 with an initial deposit of $8,000.
All right. Thank you. Motion has been made. Any discussion? Hearing none, we'll go to vote. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
And Commissioner Kobach votes yes also. We do have a hydrocarbon or pipeline safety. On the addendum, we'll move to pipeline safety. There's just one item on that. And in the matter, it's PS09-002. In the matter of the petition of the Commission Pipeline Safety Program Manager for declaratory ruling regarding whether a pipeline operator's documented maximum allowable operating pressure can exceed the limits in South Dakota Codified Law 49-41B-2.1 without a siting permit. On August 4, 2009, the parties requested an additional 90-day extension. Are we going to go to staff first for this, or would we rather go to the staff? All right. Ms. Emma?
The parties just simply need more time to agree on procedure going forward. So just asking for more time.
All right. And Mr. Gerdes, would you like to comment?
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, my name is Dave Gerdes, and I represent Montana Dakota Utilities Company in this docket, and we agree that the extension is needed.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Gerdes. Is there anyone else, any other pipeline companies who would like to comment?
Ms. Bonnard, again, is traveling today, but they agreed time is necessary.
So that would be Northwestern agrees also. All right. All right. Any other comments on this 90-day extension? Hearing none, Commissioner, questions? No? Any questions? If not, do we have a motion? I have a motion in PS09-002 that the commission grant the requested 90-day extension for the pipeline safety. No second is needed. Is there discussion? If not, we'll continue to vote. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
And Commissioner Kovac votes aye also. Now to the ETC dockets, and there are plenty of them. We'll just take a second here, and I'm going to talk to Mr. Smith and maybe Elaine and see what would be the best way to do this. Actually, first, let's go through the phone line again. Has anyone joined us for these ITC doc or ETC dockets? Mr. Kramer, are you there now?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. Mr. Ziegler? Dave Ziegler? Dean Martinow? Kari Flanagan?
I am present, Mr. Commissioner.
All right, thank you. Denny Law? Gwen Davis. All right. We have, I think we're missing Golden West and Quest yet.
Mr. Commissioner, this is George Thompson. I'm on for
Quest. Oh, that's right. There's George. Okay. Okay, we'll just take just a minute here, get organized. We do have like I said, we have numerous ETC dockets, and we'll figure out the best way to get this and maybe give the people just one more minute to get on the phone line if they need to. All right. We have two items on the telecommunications before the ETCs that we'll handle. First, and then we'll
I was just going to, if I could, shed some light on Golden West. Mr. Law is in a meeting this morning and is not able to join. Gwen Davis was going to be listening on the Internet, and then she would join us as lines freed up if there are any questions.
Okay. And I just got a note. Is there someone from CRST on the line? If not, we'll check that later, too. But how about we go ahead with telecommunications here? We've got item one and item number two that actually are not ETC filings, and then after that, they're all pretty much ETC. So item number one under telecommunications, in the matter of the filing of Northern Valley Communications, LLC, for an extension of an exemption from developing company-specific cost-based switched access. On August 4th, 2009, AT&T Communications of the Midwest Incorporated filed a petition for intervention in this docket. And today the question is, shall the commission grant intervention to AT&T? AT&T is the moving, and Mr. Van Camp.
Thank you, Commissioner. Bill Van Camp here as in-state counsel for AT&T Communications of the Midwest. As the commission is aware, AT&T Communications of the Midwest is an IXC required to pay interstate switched access fees to local exchange carriers such as Northern Valley for toll calls that originate and terminate in South Dakota. How much, of course, is paid is a significant cost component in providing interconnection services and interexchange services, in South Dakota. Thus, AT&T has a significant financial interest in ensuring that switched access rates are reasonable, accurate, and consistent with the public interest. Switched access fees necessarily have an impact on AT&T and how it serves and charges its customers in the state of South Dakota. Now, AT&T has filed a late intervention in this docket, and we certainly understand and have reviewed the commission's order that granted a temporary approval of Northern Valley switched access rates pending the outcome of the rulemaking docket 05002. However, there is in this docket a motion outstanding that was filed by Mid-Continent Communications. I believe it was also filed in several other dockets. Mid-Continent timely intervened, Quist intervened late. And so there are still issues to be resolved in this docket, and as those matters would move forward, based on our position as an IXC and also based on the public interest that has been identified in our filing and by my statements here today and the providing of IXC services in the state of South Dakota, we would ask for intervention. Now, in the objection filed by Mr. Craper on behalf of Northern Valley, he stated that they would be unduly prejudiced by AT&T's admission as a party. I consulted the free online dictionary for a definition of unduly prejudiced, and what I came up with was excessive or immoderately. I don't think we're doing anything immoderate here, but certainly the standard has to be that there would be excessive prejudice to Northern Valley by allowing AT&T in the docket with the temporary approval of its switched access rates. The main issue remaining is the Mid-Continent motion. As far as I understand, in consultation with one of the other parties in this docket, there has been no discovery exchanged. There is a motion pending. So to claim that we are prejudicing, the commission would be prejudicing to an unduly level Northern Valley by our admission, it strains belief at this point. There's nothing that has occurred. Once the commission decides whether or not to move forward, Northern Valley filed an objection, I believe, to Mr. Gerdes's motion on behalf of Mid-Continent. Then there will be additional work that needs to be done on all parties, but to date nothing has been done. And so other than the cross motions, allowing AT&T in this docket at this point does not stand to prejudice Northern Valley in any way other than perhaps just additional copies being made when they file any further documents. As to the public interest, as I've stated, AT&T provides IXC services in South Dakota and has a unique position. Northern Valley offers that Quest's intervention in Midco's could protect AT&T's interests as they would somewhat mirror each other. The commission and staff is certainly aware that the business models of Midco, Quest, and AT&T are not similar in the state of South Dakota. The services that are provided by the other two interveners at this point are very different from the services that are provided in South Dakota, and thus AT&T has a unique interest. Its customers have a unique interest in participating in this docket, and I'll be available for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Van Camp. Mr. Kramer, would you like to comment for Northern Valley?
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. I am Jim Kramer. I'm an attorney from Aberdeen, and I represent Northern Valley in this matter, and I did file an objection to AT&T's petition to intervene. The deadline to intervene in this case was June 8, 2009. Almost 2 months later, AT&T has filed this petition, and as the commission well knows, a late filed petition can be granted if there's not prejudice to the other parties or if the denial is not prejudicial to the public interest. I disagree with Mr. Van Camp that this intervention by AT&T would be prejudicial to Northern Valley, because Northern Valley is going to be forced to have to respond to any activity that AT&T takes in this action, unless it intends simply to be an observer. If it's simply going to be an observer, I would agree with him that there would not be additional time, effort, cost, and expense incurred by Northern Valley if AT&T is allowed to intervene. As to the public interest, AT&T didn't identify any public interest it is going to advance that is different from that would be advanced by Midco or by Quest, who are already interveners in this action. Therefore, I think it would be appropriate to deny this motion to intervene, and any of the issues that it chooses to raise related to this docket can be raised in the rulemaking docket that's RM05002, and those interests can be advanced there, which would be the more appropriate place for them to raise their concerns. So I would ask the commission to deny this petition to intervene.
Thank you, Mr. Kramer. Mid-Continent is an intervener. Would they like to comment?
No, we have no.
Okay. Anyone else? Any other companies wishing to comment?
This is George Johnson. Request, Mr. Chairman. Briefly, we just like to support AT&T's intervention here.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Staff?
Thank you. This is Kara Semler for Karen Kramer. Certainly the filing was late, and staff acknowledges that that can create some complications, but doesn't necessarily think that it will rise to the level of a prejudice and therefore does support the intervention.
All right. Thank you. Any other comments? If not, Commissioner, questions?
Mr. Chairman, I have one for AT&T Communications. Given there is, you know, there are discussions ongoing about a rulemaking docket, I mean, does AT&T really feel that their intervention in this particular proceeding is the best way to advance their concerns regarding access?
Mr. Chairman, as you are as aware of, as anyone is, these dockets have a way of sometimes becoming a life unto themselves. And at this point, there are motions pending where this docket, and how the commission agrees to decide those motions, may greatly impact the rulemaking docket. I agree that that they do coincide. But the reason for our petition here is because we don't know which way 09031 is going to go based on commission's rulings. And if we were to wait, granted this is a late intervention, but if we were to wait until you ruled, and let's say you granted Mr. Gertis's motion for Mid-Continent, and then that docket set off on a course of discovery and action relating to CLEC switch access charges separate and distinct from the rulemaking docket, well, we're out of that docket at that point. It would be infinitely harder, I think, at that point to come forward and then ask for intervention. So,
sure. Mr. Van Camp, you know, one thing that the commission has heard from a number of people in the telecom arena is some frustration that maybe there hasn't been more movement in several months on this discussion about how the commission will view access rates. I mean, if there hasn't really been any movement in the last 2 months, what's the difference for AT&T? I mean, why didn't this filing come 2 months ago?
Sometimes big wheels turn slowly, Mr. Chairman. There was business-to-business contact between Quest and AT&T, I will tell you, and I believe with Mid-Continent discussing this. Interest was gained by AT&T at that point, and we decided, based on what we see as a possible outcome, and there are any number of possible outcomes in this docket as well as the rulemaking docket, we need to be assured for ourselves and for our customers in South Dakota that we're participants in those dockets that might impact switched access rates and how CLEC switched access rates are formulated going forward based through the rulemaking docket or based on something that comes out of this docket.
Thank you. Nothing further, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner Johnson. Commissioner Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Van Gamp gives some very strong arguments, logical arguments, as to why they should be allowed intervention. Historically, we allow interventions. On the other hand, 2 months is getting, you know, there's got to be a limit somewhere. I don't know where that threshold is, and I guess different circumstances will provide for different thresholds. I'm curious, Mr. Kramer, if you could give me a good argument why, and I just have not grasped your argument, the strength of it, I guess, from the standpoint of why you would be prejudiced if we allowed AT&T intervention.
Sure, Mr. Commissioner. If AT&T becomes active in this docket, we're simply going to have to spend time, energy, effort, and cost in responding to them. But if I heard Mr. Van Camp right, his real concern in this docket is what's going to happen with the Midco motion. Well, we don't know what's going to happen with that because that's not scheduled until later this month. So what I would suggest is if his concern is he can't address all the issues in this docket in the rulemaking docket because of what the Midco motion might do, I would suggest you delay ruling on this motion to intervene until the Midco motion is resolved, and that is, are we going to go forward with the Midco motion or not? I think that would satisfy AT&T's concerns and would certainly satisfy Northern Valley's concerns.
I personally would prefer not to do it that way. I'd rather have everyone in the room at the beginning on the process, and I didn't hear a strong argument for why NBC would be prejudiced, but appreciate your response. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any other questions? I just have one. The two-month thing, could you maybe elaborate on that a little more? Why it took 2 months?
I don't think I have a good answer why it took 2 months, Commissioner. I think it's important to remember that the standard of the commission is that the intervention as allowed would be unduly prejudicial to Northern Valley. Oftentimes in the legal world, things take a long time. You're aware of that. There's no excuse for our delay, but we come forward today asking for intervention based on our belief that this will not unduly prejudice Northern Valley, and also that there is a strong public interest in serving the customers of South Dakota and providing IXC services by AT&T in this state.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Ms. Wiest?
Yes, this is Relaine Wiest, and I agree with staff. I would recommend granting intervention. I don't think there is undue prejudice in this case.
Thank you. Anything else? If not, Commissioner Ashton?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the commission grant intervention to AT&T.
All right. The motion has been made by Commissioner Johnson. No second is required. Discussion? Hearing none. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
And Commissioner Kobach is going to vote aye also. Thank you. All right. And then we have item number two under telecommunications is TC09-042 in the matter of the filing for approval of an interconnection agreement between Quest Corp and Greenfly Networks Incorporated doing business as Clearfly Communications. Today the question is, shall the commission disapprove the interconnection agreement? The moving party would be Quest. We'll hear from you first.
Thank you, Commissioner. This is George Thompson with Quest. We understand and have no problem with the staff's conclusion that Clearfly is not certificated to provide telecommunication services in South Dakota. And so today we certainly support the staff recommendation that the commission disapprove this particular interconnection agreement as it applies to South Dakota.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Tent. Staff?
Thank you, Kara Semler for staff. As Mr. Thompson said, Greenfly Networks, DBA, Clearfly Communications does not have a certificate to serve, and staff recommends denying this interconnection agreement based on that.
All right, thank you. Is there any questions or comments from commissioners?
Mr. Chairman, I have one from Ms. Semler. Ms. Semler, would also an acceptable commission action be to approve the interconnection agreement subject to Greenfly Networks getting a COA to operate in South Dakota?
You know, that makes me a bit uncomfortable, Commissioner. I worry how we would track them, whether or not they do service, whether or not they obtain their certificate of authority, and I think that would place some burden on Quest, too, to begin tracking all of these companies to be assured that they obtain a certificate of authority before providing services. And it makes me uncomfortable to have a separate list of companies with an approved interconnection agreement subject to obtaining a certificate of authority. So I would resist the recommendation, but certainly we'll do what we need to should the commissioners choose to go that route.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Johnson. Any other?
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Hans.
A question for staff. If this is disapproved, is there any sort of waiting period statutorily that they have to go through a duration prior to reapplying?
No. And I did communicate with Greenfly and emailed statutes and communicated the process to get the certificate of authority and the corresponding timeframes, and received a reply that they understand, but nothing was submitted. So the answer to your question is no. But the company also was aware of how staff intended to proceed and chose not to reply to the commission or appear today.
Is there any reason why they would not just simply want to withdraw the request? And then we wouldn't.
Yeah,
I don't know. It just seems like a tardy mark on.
I agree. Yeah, I don't know why they chose to proceed as they did. And I think some of these companies have been confused that the authority from the Secretary of State's office is different than what happens here in the commission. I know that happened with a company earlier this summer. They thought they were one in the same type of approval.
Okay.
So when this company understood the additional filing, maybe it simply wasn't a wise business decision to proceed in South Dakota. And
all right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that the commission disapprove the interconnection agreement.
All right. A motion has been made. No seconds required. Discussion? Hearing none. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Johnson.
Aye.
And Commissioner Kobach votes aye also. All right. That completes item number two on telecommunications, and now I believe the rest is ETC filings. Let's go check the phones one more time. Gwen Davis, have you joined us?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Kathy Ford. Dave Ziegler? Okay. Anyone else that has joined that I haven't called their name? Anyone from CRST? Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, have you joined us? Okay, if not, we will list them all, and then the ones that we want to, there is confidential data in a lot of these. So I would just go item number three in the matter of request for certification regarding the use of federal universal service support in DACA's TC09-046, 047, 048, 051, 052, 053, 055, 056, 057, 059, 060, 061, 064, 066, 067, 071, and 072, and 073. All of those dockets are under that heading. And number three, are there any dockets that we know of right now that we would like to pull off and discuss confidential data? If not, should we?
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I'm not certain on those. When you start discussing confidential data, it's challenging sometimes when you read through these to know what is confidential and what isn't, when you just have a lot of the information before you. And my notes don't show what is and what isn't. I'm assuming that on 071 and 073 that I'll be able to formulate my questions so that there aren't any confidential matters brought up, but I do wish to discuss those two items.
Okay. How about, I know Commissioner Johnson has gone through these. We had a pretty good system. Should we just start with any questions on TC09046?
You know, one thing, Commissioner, that I think works is just, you know, throw open any questions for any of the dockets. And it sounds like Commissioner Hansen's got some questions, at least two. Just take those questions, and maybe that his answers are resolved, and we can vote on them all as one slug.
Okay. Okay.
I was assuming that was what he was doing. He was just going to go through 4-6, 4-7, 4-8, and hit as we go.
Okay.
And then take them all as one group.
Okay.
That's fine with me.
All right. So let's do that. Any questions on TC09046? Hearing none, any questions on TC09047? TC09048? TC09051? TC09052? TC09053? TC09055, TC09056, Bridgewater Canastota, TC09057, Golden West Cooperative, TC09059, Sioux Valley Telephone, 09060, Union Telephone, TC09061, Vivian Telephone, TC09064, Farmers Mutual Telephone. 09066, Red River Rural Telephone Association. TC09067, Valley Telephone. 09071, RCC Minnesota Incorporated.
Mr. Chairman, I have some questions, and Ms. Wiest has just informed me that the questions that I was flirting with our will involve confidential information.
Okay. Do we want to go off the web right now then?
Yes.
Okay. So we will go into confidential, so we'll have to clear the room and the phone lines.
Sorry, Bob.
Is there someone from RCC on the line?
Mr. Commissioner,
excuse me, Commissioner. When I clear the phone line, how am I going to get back on for our docket? This is Mary Sisak.
Just hold on a second here. We're on the internet right now.
And they will just call back, and she'll need to go back and refresh her browser on the thing.
That's right. We're on the web right now, and then we will have to cut that feed. And if you refresh your browser, when we come back on the internet, we'll take a minute to make sure that everyone is back online.
Mr. Chairman, this is Dusty Johnson. Might I make a suggestion?
Sure.
That we maybe hold those with confidential questions. We pull those off of this docket item number three. Maybe let everybody with, you know, item number three we don't have a problem with. Vote on them. They know they're taken care of today. They don't need to continue to listen, and we can come back and deal with those we have confidential questions on later.
Okay.
Just a suggestion. Certainly doesn't matter to me if you prefer.
No, and that's actually what I kind of had in mind at the beginning, was to go through all the ones that there were no questions and vote on them, and then come back and vote on the second set. But we can do that way too. Well, now we got to check the phone line since we told them and cleared the room here. Yeah. Okay. Let's. You can come back in. We'll do. We know that we have questions on TC09071. How about TC09072? TC09073. TC09069. That would be Acknowledge ETC. TC09070.
I would have questions on TC09-069. I don't think they're confidential, or I think I can ask one way that they're not. So with your permission, I'd ask away.
Absolutely. Let's make sure that we have Knowledge on here, Stuart. Kathy, are you on the line?
I am.
Okay. Sorry about all the confusion.
No worries.
All right. Commissioner Johnson, would you like to wait with just a second here, and we'll go
sure.
through TC09070, Analogy of the Black Hills, and then the last one is TC09074.
And I would have questions or comments on all three of those item number fours.
Okay. So just to clarify, we do not have questions on any items, any of the TC09031, except for TC09071, 073, 069, 070, and 074.
And my apologies, Mr. Chairman, but I do think 073, I would have some questions as well for Swiftel.
Okay. So let's go through that one more time so everyone knows who needs to stick around. 071, 073, 069, 070, and 074. All right. Those are the ones that we have questions on. All the rest we do not. So if we do go into confidentiality agreement, all of those people do not need to worry about it. We will deal with non-confidential questions first. And I believe, Commissioner Johnson, you had said that TC09069, Knowledge ETC, you could handle that without going into confidential.
Yeah, the question has to do with the waiver request, Mr. Chairman. I'll just ask, you know, Ms. Ford, maybe you can better explain for me your rationale for the waiver. I mean, I read through your filing. But, you know, just on its face, I'm not sure you're making an argument that's all that different than most of the telecommunications companies could make if they wanted to. So help me understand the burden that reporting on by Wire Center creates.
Well, when our folks there in South Dakota do the budget, it's part of the overall company budget, and they certainly have a handle locally as to which plant upgrades may be needed, which additions may be planned in the next year or so. But they don't look at that necessarily or put that in the format that it's wire center by wire center. They, you know, overall it probably could be done. It's just not the way that the planning happens in our company. And I went back and looked at the prior filings that we've made in the past, even before the Knowledge Prairie Wave merger, and it's apparent that, you know, the you get an idea of the amount of money that you're planning to spend in those areas and throughout the various ILEC wire centers, but it has always been provided to the commission sort of on an allocated basis. In other words, if you go back and look at some of the prior Prairie Wave filings, you'll see that the numbers reflect an allocation of the overall amount to the various wire centers on a per population basis. And so it's always been filed that way, and this year the staff indicated that they thought that technically was not in compliance with the rules. And so they suggested that we should file a request for a waiver, just sort of in an abundance of caution that's what the commission felt that we needed to do.
So remind me, Ms. Ford, I mean, you know, afterwards, as you report to the commission on the investments that you made in the previous year, are those investments broken down by Wire Center?
They are, but again, it's broken down on a sort of when we give you our actual numbers, it's again on an allocated basis, because when we're tracking those numbers internally, we're not tracking them by Wire Center. We will track them by entity, so we track them by Knowledge Community Telephone, for instance, the ILEC, and we can tell you, you know, how much money was spent overall. We allocate that out then to the various wire centers.
Well, and here's my concern, and maybe you can say something that can allay it, but if we have neither forward-looking nor backward-looking information about where USF dollars are spent, I mean, how is the commission to determine that, you know, rural parts of Knowledge's territory are being you know, taken care of, that those dollars, that some areas aren't being neglected, almost in sort of a a cream skimming type of way in which dollars, USF dollars, are allocated in those areas where knowledge can get the highest rate of return to the detriment of those areas that perhaps are in need of upgrades to continue that high quality telephony.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how is the commission to ensure that areas are not neglected unnecessarily or inappropriately?
I think there's a couple of ways the commission would get that information, and it's not to say that the information doesn't exist within our systems. It just isn't purposely kept that way. In the end, we have to file cost studies at the federal level that show exactly where the money was spent and for what. And that's where you get down into the detail level, and we have, you know, detailed level information about where money was spent. It isn't kept in a manner that makes it very easy to pull it out by wire center. Maybe I'm not explaining it correctly, but we certainly, if we drill down to the I'm not going to be able to find the word for it, but to the very detailed level of our balance sheets and our accounting, we could tell you what money was spent where. But it isn't, like I say, it isn't kept in a manner that makes it very easy to give that to you in the form of a report each year. And I think that the commission would find that if it started to receive complaints, which, of course, we don't want to have happen, but I think there would be other ways that the commission would gain information that we were neglecting, for instance, a particular wire center or, you know, and hopefully that won't happen, and we don't intend for that to happen, but certainly the commission would probably hear about it if it was.
Yeah, I do understand that. You know, that seems to me to be not a very proactive way to look towards service quality, and I know you're not suggesting that it is. I just want to explain my discomfort with waiting around until the problems arise.
Sure.
And I do understand.
I don't mean to suggest that. I certainly don't mean to suggest, sir, that's what, you know.
Oh no, and I understand that. I just wanted to better clarify, you know, my discomfort with that approach.
Sure.
Because I do think there, and you know this as well. I mean, there. I think, you know, receiving these universal service funds, I think, come with some obligations, you know, above and beyond what is probably routine or in the normal course of business for a company that wasn't receiving USF.
Sure.
So I just wanted to see if you had any comments to help me understand your request. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, and if I could just add one more thing. I mean, certainly if the commission needs to see some, like a two-year plan that absolutely says, you know, in this wire center, this wire center, this wire center, this is what we intend. I mean, certainly our local people know what's on the agenda, what they're thinking about doing, and they evaluate, you know, which are the most needy projects, et cetera. My fear is by giving you that, then we would be in the next year saying, why didn't you do this project or why didn't you do that project? And because it isn't necessarily a decision that, you know, there are a lot of things that go into where does the company spend its money each year? And we don't plan out 2 years in advance. And so I'd be afraid if we gave you 2 years forward, then we would be in explaining, you know, after that second year, why we didn't necessarily do the things that were originally on the list.
Mr. Chairman, if I might add a comment.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you're right, Ms. Ford. I mean, that does happen. I mean, it's a very legitimate fear on your part because we see it happen. And you would know this because, you know, most of these data requests are filed confidential. But what happens with, you know, I mean, that does happen with, you know, a dozen or so companies every year. Staff mm-hmm. will ask, you know, why wasn't this massive investment made. The company just explains as part of a data request why, and mm-hmm. those rarely rise to the level of you know, being addressed at a commission meeting just because the company does a good job of, you know, addressing them at the data request and the commissioners review those in advance. So,
sure.
You know, and I don't know, I mean, I'm not dead set on, you know, rules are always rules and there can never be any exemption. I mean, if now, I mean, I plan to vote against, you know, your request. But that being said, if in future years or even in this year, if you can provide us the type of information we're looking for, even if it's not at a wire center level, but mm-hmm. I don't want to create some unnecessary burden, if you can, you know, come up with a better way to provide that information, you know, for you that still gives us what we need, I mean, I'm all ears. So.
Okay.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Absolutely. Any other questions, non-confidential questions? Okay. Are there any confidential questions on 069? All right.
Commissioner, I would have something. This is Greg Rislov.
Sure.
And Ms. Ford, and I don't know what you know, exactly the commissioners would accept, but in reviewing these filings, you're serving a number of communities, and again, I don't know if this is acceptable, but it would have been much more revealing had you just come in with some sort of a report stating that, well, we're in the process of upgrading the following, you know, exchanges in general, you know, laying fiber, whether it's transport fiber, fiber to the home type facilities, without necessarily having to break it down, I suppose, to the penny,
mm-hmm.
at least giving us some idea that, or at least might, and this is coming from me, not the commissioners. I want that to be understood, but I want to know if when you're getting this USF money that, you know, this isn't all going in one hole, that frankly people throughout the service territory are looking at improvements as time goes on, because there's a significant amount of money going out in USF, and I think that the commissioners simply can't make a judgment without having some idea of what services are being provided or what services are you're looking to provide, you know, within a reasonable time frame. Now, your comment regarding, well, you don't want to explain why you were unable to do this, well, frankly, that's good information. That's good information for us, and maybe you don't want to do it, but a lot of times there are good reasons for it, and as Commissioner Johnson pointed out, you know, that's part of the explanation. That's part, I think, of the, I don't know what the proper term is, fiduciary responsibility of the commission to review, and, you know, as they send these letters on to the FCC. So, you know, again, just saying, you know, we don't break it out and stopping there because you can't break it down to the level of detail perhaps staff is used to getting. There are ways to present it in a more generalized basis, but which still can give us information to evaluate whether or not your company is fulfilling obligations under the USF. So I, just adding those comments, I don't know where that takes you, but perhaps on a project basis, and this project encompasses these wire centers, would be helpful.
That's helpful information. I appreciate the feedback. I think that something like that would certainly be more readily available for us to provide, as opposed to down to the penny, sort of in each wire center.
Any other questions or concerns? If not, I will consider TC09069 handled. We won't come back to that. We still have 71, 73, 70, and 74. Are there any non-confidential questions on any of those dockets that can be handled before we start going into and out of confidentiality?
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I think on 74 I can, and the conversation probably feels a little bit like it did with the Nology dockets. And I should also mention, so you can kind of clean it up, I sort of made my points and asked my questions on the first Nology docket, so I don't have anything additional on 70 with Nology of the Black Hills.
Okay, so we will consider 70 and 69. We'll not have any more questions on, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. 74, you want to handle that out of confidentiality, you said?
Yeah, I think we can, and certainly if we drift that way, we can always, you know, move to the bottom.
All right. We'll handle TC09074 right now then.
Sure. Just to sort of, you know, start the dialogue, you know, with the folks at Quest, I mean, again, I think this information is, you know, at the end of the process last year, I think we actually got some information that was a little more usable from Quest, or at least was broken down a bit more. I'm not sure we got what we wanted this time, and so I would just, you know, start the dialogue with Quest similar as to how we did with Nology. I mean, is there a way we can get, you know, more granularity to this information so that it can be of assistance to the commission?
Mr. Chairman, this is George Thompson from Quest.
Yes, sir.
And I had a conversation with Mr. Thurber this morning where I believe we can get there with regard to what the commission would desire. If you look at our confidential attachment B, and I'm not going to address any of the numbers in there, You'll see that there are three columns at the far right of that particular document. And I told Mr. Thurber and then confirmed with our subject matter expert, Mr. Martineau, that the projections can be for each wire center can be based on the information that the commission already has for the years 06, 07, 08 for this year, 07, 08, 09 for 2010, and 08, 09 and 2010 for the projections for 2011. Now, I say that with a caveat that any given wire center can have a variety of occurrences which would make those projections fairly meaningless. For instance, there could be some sort of natural disaster which, in the course of that disaster, would, let's say, flood a central office. And obviously the investment in that particular wire center in that particular year would not then meet the projection. It would probably go well past the projection and might affect other wire centers as well that didn't have the sorts of damage that I'm suggesting could occur based on the projections. But I did assure Mr. Thurber that for planning purposes, with the information the commission has, they could go down to the wire center and get the projected number for spend in each of those centers.
I would just ask, Mr. Chairman, if I could, if Mr. Thurber has any comments.
By wire center, what they're doing is they're taking an average based on the past 3 years. I don't think you're going to get the project information by wire center because of Quest planning process. That information probably isn't available. So it's, as far as the plan, it's more of an average of the past 3 years. I'm not sure if that'll meet your needs, but that's what's currently being provided.
So, Mr. Thurber, the average of the last 3 years, I mean, those are actual expenditures in those wire centers, though. Right, I mean, at least we're basing the forward-looking costs on actual historicals.
Well, for 2010, they used 2009, 2008, and 2007, so it's a combination of 2 years of actual information and 1 year of projected. And then for in 2011, it'll be 1 year of actual because it's 2008, and then 2 years of projection. So it's kind of a mixture of both actual and projected.
Yeah. Okay. And you said you didn't know if that would get the commissioners what it wants. I mean, I don't know if it'll get everybody what it wants, but from my perspective, at least we're able to see over time an analysis of what wire centers are maybe underinvested in from the commission's perspective. So I think that's, although it's not ideal, I think it's acceptable. So thanks very much, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Great questions. Any other questions on 0974? If not, I will consider 0974 to be handled and done. We won't come back to that docket. That leaves us with two, TC0971 and TC0973. Are there any non-confidential questions on TC09071? And we know that we have confidential questions, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So I think how about TC09073, is there anything we can handle non-confidential on that docket? If not, we know that there are confidential questions, correct? Yes. Okay. So now it's time. Yeah, we'll go off the docket. We will start with RCC, and it is my understanding that 71, we're probably going to have two people on there. On 73, Mary Sisick, are you on there?
Yes.
Okay, and Laura and Jim, are you still on?
We are.
Okay. So
if they are on one line together.
Yeah.
They are. Okay.
You're on one line together, correct, Ms. Jewis?
That's correct.
Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to go offline, we're going to go off the internet, and then we're going to have you hang up. And then if you just monitor the internet, I will get back on and you'll hear my voice, and I'll ask that you call back in, and then we won't start until we know that you're on the line.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask, are you intending to take a vote on these others prior to that, or should we get back on?
What's that? Yeah, I guess that would be personal preference, I guess. Commissioner Johnson, do you have any preference on that?
Oh, I think it'd be nice to take a vote and let you know everybody else who's waiting kind of go on with the day if it pleases the chairman, certainly.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that. We will. I think we were going to try to take them all in one motion, but as long as we haven't gone to confidential yet and we're down to two dockets, let's do that. I will motion in. Let's see here. Oh, we got to get a good motion. So. In the matter of the request for certification regarding use of Federal Universal Service Support in TC 09, 031, 46, 47, 48, 51, 52, 53, 55, 56, 57, 59, 60, 61, 64, 66, 67, 72, TC 09, 69, 70, and 74. I will motion that the commission grant the universal service funding.
Excuse me, Commissioner Kolbeck.
Yes.
For 69 and 70, I think we have to consider the waiver, and then for 74, we also need to make a special statement for request regarding the federal benchmarks. So we might need to take those separately.
Okay. So my revised motion will not include 69 and 70 or 74. Is that correct?
Right.
All right. So that is the motion that stands, and the motion is to provide a certificate to the Federal Communications Commission and to the Universal Service Administration Company regarding the plan for the use of Federal Universal Services Support as proposed in each of the above dockets. Discussion. Hearing none, we'll continue to vote. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
And Commissioner Kolbeck votes aye also. Okay, so now we need a motion on TC 09069. Would anyone like to make that motion? And
Mr. Chairman, I would move that the commission not grant the request for a waiver.
Okay. Discussion? Hearing none, we'll continue to vote. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
And Commissioner Kolbeck votes aye also. We need a motion on TC 09070.
Mr. Chairman, I would make the same motion to deny the waiver.
Okay. Discussion? Hearing none, Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
And Commissioner Kolbeck votes aye also. Now, for TC 09074, we need a motion for that one, the request docket.
And this is Relaine Wiest. It's my understanding that no additional information would be required. Is that correct, Mr. Thurber? Or is there? Are they going to update this, or are we supposed to calculate it?
If the commission decides not to grant the waiver,
not the waiver for Quest.
Oh,
we were in 074.
Okay, just for 074, Quest rates are below the most recent federal benchmarks.
And that would apply to the second question, right?
That's correct.
Okay. I'm going to need to. So our motion on that should be to.
But it's your understanding that Quest is not providing additional information. Is that correct, Mr. Thurber, on the that it can be extrapolated from what they've already provided? Is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So now I didn't.
So I think you can take both questions under the Quest docket.
Rather to approve. Okay. Right here. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion on TCO 9074 that the Commission provide a certification to Federal Communications Commission and the Universal Service Administration regarding the plan for use of USF support, and that the Commission provide a certification that Quest is offering rates comparable to other carriers.
All right, the motion has been made. Any discussion? Hearing none, we'll continue to vote. Commissioner Hanson.
Aye.
Commissioner Johnson.
Aye.
And Commissioner Kobach votes aye also. Now on 069 and 070, we did a waiver motion, but we did not do an FCC motion. Is that correct?
Well, my understanding is that based on your not granting the waiver, that Nology now has to file additional information. So I believe that the second question in, or that other question in both those dockets would be deferred.
Okay.
Would that be correct, Mr. Thayer?
Can I comment?
Yes, Ms. Ford, go ahead.
I guess I'm curious what additional information I need to file. I answered numerous inquiry responses, and I'm a little at a loss of what else I'm supposed to file at this point.
Well, with the denial of the waiver, then you need to file that information on a wire center basis.
Okay. Again, it doesn't exist on a wire center basis. That was the point of the waiver. So is it sufficient to file a general explanation of the activities that were undertaken, an explanation of the projects that were completed? I mean.
Well, I'm talking about the two-year plan for 2010-2011, and it was my understanding that after a conversation with Commissioner Johnson, that although it would be difficult, that you could come up with that information for the 2 years on a, you know, on a wire center basis, because you had to provide similar information to USAC.
Yeah, Ms. Ford, I would agree with everything that Ms. Weiss said. I mean, I'm not necessarily looking for a whole lot of historical information from Nology wire center by wire center. I mean, I don't want you to have to go back and do a bunch of work that won't be of a lot of value, but I mean, I do think on a forward-looking basis, so that this commission can have some confidence that, you know, investments are being made, are planned, in places that might need it or across your service territory. I mean, I would be interested. And if you can't provide the information as the commission is accustomed to seeing it from other providers, that's fine. You, I think, made some suggestions about some potential middle ground, and at least for this commissioner, I mean, if you want to do project description rather than, you know, penny estimates, I would think it would be highly likely that I would find that acceptable.
Okay. All right. I appreciate the feedback.
Any other questions, Ms. Ford?
Nope.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
So do we need a motion to defer? Yeah, I'll motion to defer the question in TC09069 and TC09070. I'll motion to defer the question of the FCC and Universal Service Administration Company question. Motion has been made. Any discussion? Commissioner Hanson.
Aye.
Commissioner Johnson.
Aye.
And Commissioner Kobach votes aye also. Let me just make a note to you. Okay. So please catch me if I'm off on my schedule, but I think we have handled everything except for 071 and 073. And all the questions that we have on those two dockets are confidential. And we are going to start with TC09071. So, again, Mary Sisick and Ms. Julius and Mr. Adkins, if you want to monitor the Internet, I'll come on. I'll ask for you to call in, and then we won't start the procedure until then.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet. Every other company in all of these ETC dockets, except for Swiftel, should be handled, and we will move to RCC right now, as soon as we can clear the phone lines. Mr. Otto, And Mr. Wazorek, are you with us?
I am, Commissioner. Mr. Wazorek here.
Mr. Otto is present as well, Commissioner.
All right, great. So we will clear the line except for you two, and then we'll go back and pick up the Swifttail people. We are off the Internet. We'll just check that. Yep. We're going back on the Internet now. We have finished our confidential meeting with RCC Wireless, and in docket TC09071 is what we're discussing. And I have gotten confirmation that we are on the Internet. So is there any other discussion or questions? If not, is there a motion for TC09071?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move on TC09071, that the Commission provide a certification to the federal, the FCC, and to the USF company regarding the plan for USF support as proposed in each, excuse me, as proposed in the docket.
All right. A motion is made. Any discussion? Hearing none, we'll continue to vote. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Johnson.
Aye.
And Commissioner Kobach votes aye also. All right, we have one remaining docket, TC09073, and we will wait here and make sure we have everybody that we need to on the phone line. Mary Sissick, are you on? If not, Laura, Julius, and Jim Atkins, did you get back on? Okay, we will wait for them. This is their docket, and this should be the only docket the Commission has yet to handle today. So we can get a karaoke machine, get this off, I guess. So maybe. Yeah. Tim Bender, would you like to? Bender.
I think we're going to do physical credits the same as we do carbon credits. So that I can get my exercise.
Jim Atkins should be right at the Swifttail. And then he's probably got a number for Mary Sissick. Because I think they have to, don't they have to refresh their web browser, I think. Come on.
This is Laura Julius and Jim Atkins.
Hey, there we go. Okay, how about Mary? Is Mary back on?
She should be joining us just momentarily.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you both for bearing with us through this whole deal. Sorry to keep you for last, but I guess someone has to be last. But as soon as we get Mary on, we'll go into off the web. Okay. Mary, are you on here? But as soon as we get married, then we'll go into confidential, and then we'll get you in and out of here just as soon as we can.
Okay, thank you.
This is Mary Sasak.
All right, Mary. Thank you for joining us again. Sorry to keep you so long today, but hopefully we'll get you in and out of here right away. So, just on the record, we have Mary Sasak and Laura Julius and Jim Atkins, correct?
That's correct.
All right.
That's
and
correct.
No one else? We're just confirming no one else called in. Okay. You had to go off the internet, Linda Myers?
Yeah.
Ready? Back on the web. All right, and we'll go ahead. We are dealing with docket TC09-073, the Swiftel ETC certification. And do we have any other comments or questions? If not, do we have a motion? I have a motion in TC09-073, that the commission will provide a certification to the Federal Communications Commission and to the Universal Service Administration Company regarding the plan for the use of federal universal services support as proposed in the before mentioned docket. Any discussion? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Johnson.
Aye.
And Commissioner Kobach votes aye also. There are some announcements at the end of the agenda. Please correct me if there's anything else we need to cover today. I don't believe so. As I stated, there's announcements at the end. We will be starting our fair season. One thing to note, Sioux Empire Fair, State Fair, we will be at booths there. Do we have a motion to adjourn? Commissioner Hansen moves to adjourn. No discussion. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Johnson.
Aye.
And Commissioner Kobach votes aye also. We are adjourned. Thank you.